Arizona Sports. Burns and Gambo talk with the decision maker from the Coyotes front office. Brought to you by Midwestern University Clinics in Glendale. Faculty and graduate student-led comprehensive health care. Visit MWUClinics.com to schedule an appointment.
It was an incredible streak. It really was. Wins and overtime losses. 9 games in a row. And I thought it was going to be 10. They had that lead. It was 2-1 and 3-1. And all of a sudden, Calgary. It was like Laddie McDonald was still playing. And the Flames just kept pouring it on. And joining us right now is the general manager of your Arizona Coyotes. He's done an outstanding job building his roster and assets. And that is Bill Armstrong. Bill, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Absolutely great. It's working a trade deadline now, and it's kind of a fun part of the job a little bit. You get the wheel and deal, and everybody's a little more receptive to your asks.
Of course. Well, you've got some players that could be moved. I mean, you've got good players. I've talked about Bukestad and Gostisbehere and, of course, Chychrun. So there, you've got talent. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to be in a position you're in where you have talented players that other teams want to add to their roster for the playoff push.
Yeah, I think it's, all our players have done a great job this year. It's been everybody's battled, and they've really become a team. Obviously, it sucks when you're a player in this position. Try to be upfront and as honest as we can with them and where the club's at and where we're moving to and what normally happens at this time of the year with trades regarding our team.
Yeah, last night was that was an interesting game, and I really did. I thought you guys got off to you guys were getting outshot, but you somehow had the lead by 2 goals. And I said yesterday before, as we were talking about the game before it happened, I'm like, hey, Laddie McDonald's not walking through that door. But that's it. They've done a really good job with their team, especially coming off of the big Tkachuk trade and everything. But you look at they've got some talented young players. Some of those young players, Pelletier. Door. Those guys came through yesterday big time for them. Those young players, those rookies played extremely well for them.
Yeah, they did. They're a big, heavy, fast team. Play a hard-nosed set of kind of hockey. So it certainly was one of those ones where just a battle. And you got to get greasy against the Flames if you want to have any success, you know. So it was a good game for us to kind of see where we're at and as far as our young players, but they play a good hard brand of hockey, and you can see with the amount of shots that they put up, they overwhelmed us at times. We hung in there, but and we finished our opportunities early. Fell apart late, but we were close against them and a lot closer than the score indicated.
No, and we had Connor Ingram on the show the other day. We just wanted to get him on and talk about his career and his path and how he got here. We talked to you last week about, finding these guys and developing these guys. And even on the broadcast last night, in between periods, I had Corey Schwab on to talk about, the goaltending. But Veggie last night, 52 shots faced, and just incredible. But that run, I mean, that run that you guys had, the last 5 games, for each of those guys. Veggie 3-0-1 with a great save percentage and a shutout, and Connor 2-0-3 with an even better save percentage and a shutout. That's the best stretch of goaltending, and you've had good goaltending here. That's as good a stretch of goaltending that you guys have had in a 10-game span in a while.
Yeah, and I think, your players, they know that when they go on the ice, you're like, hey, Inge's in net or Veggie's in net, and hey, we got a chance. We got a chance. They're going to come up with the big saves, and I think your goaltending. I mean, listen, goaltending is only 10%. Unless you don't have it, then it's 100%. And most nights with the Yotes right now, we've got great goaltending. So that's been the stronghold of our season so far. And I think our goaltending coach, of course, Schwab, does a great job in helping develop our goaltenders. And there's nothing better than good goaltending.
How do you feel when you look at some of the rookies around the league, and I was looking at the assists by rookies, and Your guy, Matias Michelli's number one. I mean, I had a goal last night. It was nice to see him get a goal. He doesn't put a lot of pucks in the net, but man, he's such a smooth passer. He keeps the puck on the ice. He delivers it in really good spots, which was hard to do. Not the easiest thing to do, but, you know, he's ahead of Addison and Perfetti and Beniers and McTavish. You look at the job he's done, and we were just talking about the Calgary rookies, but how excited are you about what he's been able to bring to this team?
Well, he's like the magic man out there. He makes something happen out of nothing. And like you said, he's an unbelievable playmaker. I think goaltenders are starting to cheat on him a little bit, where they know when he's coming on the two-on-one that he's looking for that pass, and they start to cheat. And now we're starting to use his shot a little bit. And I think if he can work that in, he can be a very dynamic player. The one thing that, you know, you talk about the goaltenders on the stretch that you go on and what an impact they had, but it also, you know, Michelli coming back into our lineup at this time, he was also a big impact on this just because of the simple fact that now he gives us a second line with Bukestad, Krause, and himself, you know, and now you come back with Keller. It gives Keller's line a little bit more room too. So we really missed him when he was out. He's been a dynamic young player for us. And he is an exciting player to watch on that ice.
Yeah, and I think it just goes to just prove another point. I mean, the more Italians that you could get on your team, just the better off you are. I mean, the better chance you're going to have to win games.
I would agree with you. You know, we'll have to start drafting the Rico Fattas out of Woodbridge and
Dino Cicerelli. Don't forget about Dino. Yeah. They may say that Michelli's like born in Finland, and I've been to Finland. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. But his grandparents, they're Italian. He is an Italian kid, even though he was born in Finland. So there's the moral.
I've
of the
never
story.
Heard of that before, but you are right. It is true. He's an Italian Finn.
That's right. He's an Italian kid. He's the more of them, the better. All right, let's talk about the trade that you just made. You acquire another. I think you're going to own the draft for the next like 10 years with what you've been able to do. I've given you a lot of credit for the assets that you've been able to acquire for this team going forward, and that's really what you have to do. But you end up making a trade with Vegas. You take on Weber's contract, which isn't that much, but you know the cap hit you guys take. You get a fifth round pick back, and then you move on from Dyson Mayo. Tell me what was the biggest part of it for you? Was it just acquiring another draft pick?
Well, it had all components in it. You know, obviously we had some guys that we added late, like Nemeth and Stetcher, to the defense. And then, you know, and we also picked up Alamaki, who's been one of our bestie. And what had happened was, you know, unfortunate enough that Dyson just couldn't get traction. Dyson Mayo couldn't get traction in our lineup. And he was playing in the American League on a one-way contract. So we had the ability inside this deal to move him on to Vegas through that, acquire a draft pick for this year's draft. But also it helps us out in, you know, I call it the leverage world, where, you know, when you're rebuilding and you're going through it and you're taking on bad contracts, at times you don't know where you're going to be if you're going to get to the cap floor. So what this does is allow us to get to the cap floor. And, you know, if depending on what's available in bad contracts, we're not in a panic in the summer and nobody can come and leverage us to take a deal we don't want to do. We control our own fate with this contract.
Well, you guys have done a good listen. I mean, you guys don't have Chychrun if it's not for Pavel Datsyuk, and then, you know, the Pronger deal. Yeah. But even with you, you've got, you know, Brian Little, you've got Andrew Ladd, now you've got Weber. So, I mean, we understand it. I mean, until this organization gets a new arena and the finances are better, this is the game that you guys have to play. You've played it very well. But again, I mean, just you take on this contract and the salary cap helps you get to the floor, and you add a fifth round pick. Doesn't seem like it's an easy decision to make for you guys.
Well, it is. I mean, there's part of the, you know, for us, the way that we have to maneuver where we are as an organization with the draft picks that we can take on. And then with our cap situation, this is a no-brainer for the deal for us. It's a win-win on both sides. Even for Vegas, they win and we win. So it gets us where we need to get to. And like I said, you know, you don't want to get leveraged in this league behind the scenes. And this gives us a chance to know where we're going to be and be able to get to the cap floor and not panic about it no matter what, how our summer proceeds to go.
You know, every time I see Daryl Sutter, I think about just that incredible family and all the players, you know, that they have. Because, look, as an Islander fan, they had, I don't know if you remember, but they had two of those Sutter brothers on the Islanders when they won a couple of those, they won the four cups in a row. Brent was unbelievable, and Dwayne wasn't that bad, but Brent was incredible. But, man, six brothers that all made it to the NHL crazy. From one family is absolutely insane. So every time I see you guys play them and I see him there and coaching his team, I keep thinking back to the, you know, the glory days of my team when they won those cups with two of those brothers.
Yeah, and I got to work with Brian Sutter a little bit. He was the head coach of Boston when I was in that organization as a player, and I remember he called me up, and it was going to be a tough game in Philly. They had Dan Kordick and a couple of the other boys running around the night before, so I knew why I was getting called up. It wasn't to score goals that evening, and so we go in there, and I ended up fighting Kordick, and I thought I got the best of him in the fight, and I went back into the dressing room, and he came in between periods, and he hit me harder than Kordick. He was so excited that I fought him, and so excited how I did. I took more punches from Sutter in between periods and getting on the bus, getting on the plane, and then leaving the plane than Kordick actually hit me with. He was so excited, but yeah, he was the Sutter family, tough family, and legend, and Viking Alberta, I think, where they're from.
Oh, that's great. That's a great story. I'm going to remember that one for a while. All right, Bill, listen, I know you got to work the phones. I appreciate you joining us. That was an incredible 9-game point streak that you guys had that came to an end last night. Keep up the great work. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's Bill Armstrong, the GM of your Arizona Coyotes.